For a long, long time now, the Temple Institute over in Israel has wanted to rebuild the temple. Well, there's a lot of things that you have to do in order to follow Torah, the original few first few books of the Bible, in order to rebuild the temple properly and do it the way that the ancestors did it. And one of the first things that you got to do is you have to sacrifice a perfect red heifer. Now, there is a rabbi who owns a portion of the Temple Mount. That is actually his land. In order to follow the proper sacrifice of this red heifer from a Levitical standpoint, you do it on the Mount of Olives facing west towards where the front of the temple would be on the Temple Mount. We were originally talking about this a few weeks ago. We were thinking that Passover, which is April 22nd, would be the date for this. But that is actually not Levitically correct. The Levitical timeline actually would fall to this coming Friday, March 29th. Foil Hat Club. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ben.
And thank you for joining us yet again. So I will warn you all now. You are getting a very spent Kyle and Ben.
Yeah.
We did our Book of Enoch deep dive study last night with a bunch of folks online. So thank you if you were part of the live stream crew that joined us through that process. We really appreciate it. That was a fantastic time. But Ben and I put a lot of brain work into that and a lot of information. We covered a lot of stuff. We ran 2.5, almost 3 hours, I think, by the time we took questions. It was a great piece of information. So if you want to check that out, you didn't get a chance to catch it, you can actually go to our site, www.thetfhc.com, and it will soon be available there for you to rent and watch at your leisure. So yeah. There's a lot of really good information in there, a lot of fantastic knowledge that will help deepen your understanding of your Bible tremendously.
And if you watch it, then you can still send us questions.
Yeah, fire away. And if you want to do that, it's actually thedudes@thetfhc.com. Yeah. So you can send us your questions that way as well. So yeah, we are going to continue on the same run for this episode that we have been on for the last few weeks. And it just feels like to Ben and I that this information is still really important when it comes to everything that we have going on between the eclipse and sacrifices that are getting ready to happen in Israel and warning signs and biblical tie-ins and all of these type of things. We just felt we should probably keep talking about some of this stuff because there's a lot of information here, a lot of things to cover. And we continue to find new things as we dig into this because God is very layered and it's very deep. And there are some things that as we get updates on the timeline of things that I think are coming to the surface.
Yeah.
So, and I know for us, coming off the heels of having the girls on last week, which thanks to all of you, by the way, we had our best week ever far and away. We exceeded 500 downloads on the Buzzsprout on the actual podcast side of the coin, and the girls video, the podcast version of that on YouTube is over 2,000 views at this point. So pretty phenomenal. We're very honored and humbled that we're just here to spread the word of God and that he's used us to do that. So yeah. Thanks to all you guys for the support there and the love. So much appreciated. Yeah. I will say this. There was one thing that did happen after we stopped hitting record last week.
As usual.
As usual. We should just record. No, we don't want to record ourselves all the time. That would be really weird.
That would be.
There's some things I don't think I want to. I don't want to go there. But one of the things that actually we did talk about was something that Adrienne, my wife, had talked about in her dream. And she always had just assumed that the date that appeared, and if you guys haven't watched that episode, go back or listen to that episode. Rather, go back and listen to that episode from last week, and you'll have a better understanding of, you know, exactly what she was talking about. Actually, it's our teaser at the very beginning of the episode, so you really only have to listen to that part, but we'd love for you to listen to all the episode.
Why'd you say that?
I know. Hey, Dealer's choice. People are going to do what they're going to do anyway, Ben.
Listen to the whole thing. It's good.
Ben said so. Yeah, no, let's get it. It's good stuff. But anyway, she talked about in one of her dreams that she had about 20, 25 years ago, there was an atomic bombing. And it was an Asian man that appeared in the clouds, his outline written in the stars. And the date was also accompanied that of April 25. And she just always assumed that it was April 25th. And we got to talking after the episode was over, I think. And what we really had determined was there was no TH in there. She just assumed that's what that meant.
Yeah.
But it actually just said April 25. So maybe that's the 25th of April, and maybe that's
2025.
I don't know. It's curious. Now, with that said, I'm also going to tell you this. There's going to be another disclaimer this week. We are not telling you that these things are going to happen. However, it's getting mighty strange, Ben. Things are stacking up pretty fast, and we don't know what the future holds. Only God does, right? But I do think that things and clues and signs are given to us for a reason, so we can be discerning when we see these things. And I think that's where we wanted to go, continue to go this week.
Yeah.
So we're not saying these things are going to happen. We're just saying that here's what's happening now and what it could mean. You're going to get a lot of opinions from me, and I'm sure opinions from Ben. And they're just that. They're opinions. Not saying it's going to happen, but saying that these things are strange and they could happen.
Yeah. It's going to burn up anyway.
Ben has adopted a rapturesque theory of life and living. I'm getting a little worried, actually, sitting here. He is, it's all burning anyway. Let's just go ahead and get that Lambo and eat that steak and buy them suits. And
that's right.
I'm worried. Maria's going to be broke soon. You're going to be eating Alpo.
Eat 10 boxes of Twinkies.
Eat 10 boxes of Twinkies and, you know, have that hoe as a appetizer before you have the...
A gallon of ice cream.
A gallon of ice cream. Chug it down with a half gallon of chocolate milk.
It's going to burn anyway.
So pray for Ben. We got to pull him out of the dive here.
No, it's just, it's got to have some kind of levity to the seriousness. And you got to look at it a way in such that things are happening. I'm not going to change the way that I'm still conducting my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing. We come out of this and none of this happens, then okay.
Hallelujah.
We move on with life. But we come out of this and any of this stuff even remotely starts to happen, it's going to get bad, kids.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Friday.
Yeah, so that's one of the main things we wanted to hit this week, which is we were doing some digging and some reading. And actually, the article that I was going to reference when I went on there a second ago before we started to hit record and record the episode, the particular place that I was going to go to look at an article that I was interested in, and it talked a lot about what we were going to talk about, it said it had exceeded their bandwidth limit. So I don't know if they've hit their quota for because of traffic. It seems like maybe that's what's going on, or
yeah,
but something funky is going on. But anyway, we were thinking that and what Ben is referencing is the sacrificing of the red heifers.
Yeah.
Or really red heifer, not heifers.
Yeah.
Red heifer.
They do them all. We're in really big trouble.
Triple trouble. I don't think so.
One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Spirit. Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Nah. Man, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, because here we go, baby.
That's right.
So no, what this is, and again, if you go back a few weeks ago, we talked about this and we've sporadically talked about it as we've moved through the last few weeks. But for a long time now, the Temple Institute over in Israel has wanted to rebuild the temple. There's a lot of things that you have to do in order to follow Torah, the original first few books of the Bible, in order to rebuild the temple properly and do it the way that the ancestors did it. And one of the first things that you got to do is you have to sacrifice a perfect red heifer, not on the Temple Mount. And just for the quick geographical lesson, the Temple Mount is on the eastern part of Jerusalem. Inside the city walls, just outside the city walls, on the due east of the Temple Mount is actually the Mount of Olives. So if you're familiar with your Bible, Christ spent a lot of time on the Mount of Olives. That's where we're talking about over there. Now, there is a rabbi that actually owns, his last name is Momo, I think, Rabbi Momo, which is just an awesome name, who owns a portion of the Temple Mount. That is actually his land. And in order to follow the proper sacrifice of this red heifer from a Levitical standpoint, you do it on the Mount of Olives facing west towards where the front of the temple would be on the Temple Mount. Now, currently, there's no temple on the Temple Mount. There's actually the Dome of the Rock, and then the Al-Aqsa Mosque is all there, right there in that area. And we're going to get into some of that time frame and stuff, too, that I keep coming back to, I think, again, just to revisit that again today. But it looks like when we were originally talking about this a few weeks ago, we were thinking that Passover, which is April 22nd, would be the date for this. But that is actually not Levitically correct.
Yeah.
The Levitical timeline actually would fall to this coming Friday, March 29th, because you're going to do it a few weeks before Passover and one of their festivals. Did we determine which one it was? I forget. We said Purim.
Yeah,
Purim?
I think.
I don't know if that's necessarily right, and I can't pull up the website that I was looking at to be able to tell you 100%. But there is a timeline that you have to do this so many weeks before Passover,
yeah,
which Passover obviously is on a sundown on a Friday, I believe, right?
This year, it's on a Monday.
Is it on the Monday this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, or days or however many days before. But the way that all this lines up is it would be Friday, this coming Friday, the 29th.
Yeah.
And they already have an altar. They have constructed an altar on the Mount of Olives. There's pictures of it. You can go out there. Matter of fact, if you want to go to our Facebook page and be part of the family, it's the Tinfoil Hat Club podcast. We have a regular page and a group page. You can join both. That'd be fantastic. Yeah. We've got that up on there, articles on there. We put stuff up all the time on there, the things that we talk about on the show.
Yeah.
And throughout the week, we have just a little community of fun on there.
Yeah, fun tidbits.
More like depressingly sad here lately, but
I tried to put fun stuff on
there. Yeah, we put fun stuff on there. We put all kinds of stuff on there. Things we talk about on the show, other things we find outside of the show, and yeah, it all winds up in the same theme.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the 29th looks like this could happen.
Yeah.
And to back up a little bit, now I'm going to give a little plug to Blurry Creatures because they actually had the guys on who were involved in the sourcing of these red heifers. So the red heifer is extremely rare to have a perfect red heifer. It can't have any hairs out of place. It can't have any defects, any injuries. So this is extremely rare animal that we're talking about, and they haven't been able to find any for the last however many thousand years. And so the Temple Institute over in Israel has been hot on the trail to find these, and they actually found five over in Texas and had them shipped over in September of 22. The heifers have to be in their third year. This will be the first year, I think, that they qualify for that. Last we heard, they had either two or three that were still kosher in order to be sacrificed. That is where we stand. But go ahead.
I just looked up October the 2nd is the start of the Feast of Trumpets.
Is that the heralding? That's basically the heralding of the coming Jubilee.
Yes. I find that interesting. That's within 6 months. If this happens on Friday, that's within 6 months.
We'd have to do the math on that. I wonder if it's exactly 180 days.
It's not quite. It's a little more. It's because Friday is the 29th and this is October 2nd.
Interesting.
So you're within.
Now that brings us to another point that's strange about all the timing of this, right?
Yeah.
This coming October actually heralds.
Let me do the math. I'll do the math.
Okay, cool. Yeah. This coming October, what he's talking about, you said October 2nd?
Yeah.
Is the heralding, the 6 month heralding of the coming Jubilee. For those of you that are not aware, the way a Jubilee works, if you go back again to Leviticus, this is when God clearly instructs how this is to work. So a Jubilee is actually a week of years. So a week of years would be 7 years. And then 7 weeks of 7 years is a Jubilee followed by a 50th year. That is the year of Jubilee. And that's when a lot of debts were forgiven. And there's basically a heavy reduction in work. And it's like a very long Sabbath. If you do the math from the time that this was deemed to Moses and Aaron and everybody in Leviticus forward, this will be the heralding of the 70th Jubilee. Now, the way that works is 6 months prior to the actual start of the Jubilee, which would be October 2nd, would be 6 months prior to the start, was when you actually herald in at the Feast of Trumpets this upcoming Jubilee. So the 70th Jubilee doesn't actually start until April, I believe, of 2025, which is interesting because That's when we come back to the April 25 that we talked about earlier. Now, again, as a dream, but it's always stuck with my wife the whole time. Don't know what's going to happen. Ben is over here doing knee math.
It's just a little, it's a little shy of 180 days.
Just a little shy of 180 days.
Yeah.
He's just curious to see.
Now that's interesting.
It is interesting. You're thinking that 6 months, 6 months, like we're splitting it, like he's 6 months from here, 6 months from here.
Yeah. But the month doesn't have so many, our calendars are screwed up.
They are. Yeah. We've screwed those up long ago.
But I just find it interesting that I have go into Revelation and this happens and then you have a half a year and for 3.5 years and the ball's slowly rolling. It's faster moving now. It's maybe rolling. It's a snowball rolling down a mountain and it's a good size. It's about the size of a basketball now, I'd say.
Yeah.
Maybe a bigger. I don't know.
Yeah. There's an interesting thing that happens every 50 years too. That seems to be a 50 year cycle of the Jews, that strange things happen on a different 50 year cycle. And that there's a lot of crazy math here that it's wacky to get into, but moreover than this, the number 70 is a fan favorite of God.
Oh, yes.
And one of the other crazy things that Ben actually found was, and he started digging into things, and Jesus actually shared 70 parables while he was here.
Yeah.
During his ministry.
And you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you got to be kidding me.
And some of them do overlap in the books.
Yeah.
In the Gospels, but 70 total.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about that here in a second too. And it's just strange how all of these things are all coalescing together at the same time.
Yeah.
And I know we haven't even talked about the eclipses yet, but it's just strange that all of these things are timing wise happening at the same time. It's getting so many things stacked together that I don't know how you could possibly have it be coincidence.
Yeah. And if you don't believe that, I don't know. What else do you need?
Yeah. And we had an experience this week with someone who is a Christian and they basically scoffed at everybody and made fun of anybody that was questioning any of this stuff and looking into it at all. And basically just saying, oh, just read your Bible and trust in the Lord. And I do read my Bible and I do trust in the Lord. And my Bible tells me to pay attention because God told me and Christ told me, hey, when you see these things happening, you know that I'm coming.
Yeah.
So, well, it's no, I think you've confused trust the Lord with just blindly march forward and act like nothing's going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we can't act like we've got to.
How can I tell other people that the time is now, like things are imminent? Here's where we are in the Bible and here's what's really happening and here's how much time is left potentially.
Yeah.
If I don't ever open my eyes and pay attention to what's going on around me.
Well, yeah, I know.
How can I be a good steward of Christ's words and God's words and the message if I don't open my eyes?
Yeah, that's true.
And speak.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's crazy. But just to dive into this a little bit more. So again, the 70th Jubilee will be this October. And then we move forward into April of 25, and that will be the beginning of the Jubilee.
Yeah.
So it's just very interesting. But Christ's actual 70th parable was the following. And this is actually, this is crazy, man. Let me find it here. It's actually John 16, 20 through 22. And this should sound familiar to anybody who's listened to the show, because there's going to be some language in here that's going to feel pretty familiar. So we'll start to read this. And then, again, we're reading out of the CJB. For those of you who have not joined us before, we like to use the Complete Jewish Bible, which is our favorite as far as translation. Yeshua, or Jesus, knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you asking each other what I meant by saying, 'In a little while you won't see me, and then a little while later you will see me'? Yes, it's true. I tell you that you will sob and mourn, and the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she is in pain because her time has come. But when the baby is born, she forgets her suffering out of the joy that a child has come into the world. So you do indeed feel grief now, but I'm going to see you again. Then your hearts will be full of joy, and no one will take your joy away from you. When that day comes, you won't ask anything of me. Yes, indeed. I tell you that whatever you ask from the Father, he will give to you or give you in my name. Till now, you haven't asked anything in my name. Keep asking and you will receive so that your joy may be complete. Now, I went a little past, but I think in this particular parable, Christ is being very layered.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about his resurrection, but I also think that he's talking about our time now in the future.
Yeah.
And the reason we say that is this. So some things that should stick out to you is the whole parable of the childbirth, right? He's using this parable. One of the things that we've been focusing on that's come up over and over and over and over again is Matthew 24.
Yeah.
And he talks in Matthew 24. We'll pick up in about verse.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, Foilers. Ben and I need your support as we continue to work to grow it for God and increase the amount of listeners to the podcast. Here is what you can do to help. Head on over to our website, thetfhc.com, to take advantage of our Conspiracy sale. All of our t-shirts are 20% off until the end of May. Also, we are excited to announce the Foil has gone digital. That's right. From this point forward, you can now listen or watch every episode of the Tinfoil Hat Club podcast on YouTube, Rumble, or our website, thetfhc.com/video. If you have questions after watching or want to reach out to us, be sure to send us an email, thedudes@thetfhc.com. Feeling charitable and want to give to the cause? Consider donating using our Cash App link, which can be found on our website. Last, come and be a part of the TFHC family on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Rumble. And be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share with everyone you think would enjoy the podcast. Thanks to each of you for your love and support. Now, back to the show.
Four. So Matthew 24, verse 4. Yeshua replied, "Watch out, don't let anyone fool you, for many will come in my name, saying that I am the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. You will hear the noise of wars nearby and the news of wars far off. See to it that you do not become frightened. Such things must happen, but the end is yet to come. For peoples will fight each other, nations will fight each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various parts of the world. All this is but the beginning of the birth pains. At that time, you will be arrested and handed over to be punished and put to death, and all peoples will hate you because of me. At that time, many will be trapped into betraying and hating each other. Many false prophets will appear and fool many people, and many people's love will grow cold because of increased distance from Torah. But whoever holds out to the end will be delivered. And this is the good news about the kingdom and will be announced throughout the whole world as a witness to all the goyim." You know what that is, Ben?
Goyim? Gentiles.
Yes, indeed. "It is then that the end will come." Thank you. I couldn't remember. I remember when you said that. We go on and he says, "When you see the abomination that causes devastation spoken about through the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand the allusion that this will be the time for those in Judah to escape to the hills. If someone is on the roof, he must not go down to gather his belongings. If someone is in the field, he must not turn back to get his coat. What a terrible time it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that you will not have to make your escape on this in winter or on the Sabbath."
Yeah.
Pregnant women, nursing mothers, birth pains. It seems like we're hearkening back to that same parable.
Yeah.
And we see this again in Mark. And we'll go Mark 13, verse 5. Jesus began speaking to them, "Watch out, don't let anyone fool you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will fool many people. When you hear the noise of wars nearby and news of wars far off, don't become frightened." So yeah. Same words that we heard before. "Such things must happen, but the end is yet to come. For peoples will fight each other and nations will fight each other. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pains. But you, watch yourselves. They will hand you over to the local Sanhedrins. You will be beaten up in synagogues. And on my account, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. Indeed, the good news has to be proclaimed first to all of the Gentiles. Now, when they arrest you and bring you to trial, don't worry beforehand about what to say. Rather, say what is given to you when the time comes. For it will not be just you speaking, But the Ruach HaKodesh. I am a horrible Hebrew.
Ruach HaKodesh.
Ruach HaKodesh. Wow, you got Ming beat on that. I'll handle Elohim, and you can handle Ruach HaKodesh.
Ruach HaKodesh.
There we go. I did better that time. My tongue's a little whipped. The Holy Spirit is what that is. The Ruach HaKodesh.
It's actually the yes and or the breath of God. Yeah. The whole spirit thing is just amazing.
Yeah. Brother will betray brother to death and father his child. Children will turn against their parents and have them put to death. But everyone will hate you because of me. But whoever holds out to the end will be delivered. Now, when you see the abomination that causes devastation standing where he ought not to be or where it ought not to be, let the reader understand the illusion. That will be the time for those in Judah to escape to the hills. And then we go on and we say the same thing. What a terrible time it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that it may not happen in winter. It will be worse trouble than that time there's ever been from the very beginning. When God created the universe until now, there will be nothing like it again. So, and then we see something similar in Luke, the same exchange. And let's see, Luke 21, we'll start in verse 10. Then he told them, peoples will fight each other, nations will fight each other. There will be great earthquakes, there will be epidemics and famines. Epidemics is what we've thrown in this time, Ben.
Oh.
Interesting. Epidemics and famines and various
places. He was a doctor, so he would have known about.
This is true. Luke was a doctor. In various places, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will arrest you and persecute you, handing you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors. This will be on account of me, but it will prove an opportunity for you to bear witness. So make up your minds not to worry, rehearsing your defense beforehand, for I myself will give you an eloquence and wisdom that no adversary will be able to resist or refute. So it's interesting here that he says he will give it to you. Christ will. You'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. Some of they will have put to death, and everyone will hate you because of me. But not a hair of your head will be lost. By staying firm, you will save your lives. However, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you are to understand that she is about to be destroyed. Those in Judah must escape to the hills. Those inside the city must get out, and those in the country must not enter it. For these are the days of vengeance, when everything that has been written in the Tanakh will come true. What a terrible time it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and judgment on the people. Some will fall by the edge of the sword, and others will be carried into all countries of the Gentiles.
And this part more dispersion.
Exactly. Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the age of the Gentiles has run its course. There will appear signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on earth. Nations will be in anxiety and bewilderment at the sound and surge of the sea. I also find that very interesting, Ben. As people faint with fear at the prospect of what is overtaking the world, for powers in heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with tremendous power and glory. When these things happen, stand up and hold your heads high, because you are about to be liberated. What do you make of that?
Huh?
Man of many words. There's some things in there that definitely stand out to me. We talked a lot about earthquakes in each one of these.
Yeah.
Famines. In this one, we actually threw in epidemics.
Yeah.
Here we just had a huge epidemic, right? The pandemic.
Yeah. And then the sound and the surge of the sea.
Yeah. So what do you think that could be? I have a theory. Again, just a theory. Not saying it's going to happen, but a theory. Because this takes us back to the eclipse.
Yeah, I have a thought, but I'll go ahead and say it.
Okay. I'll make an edit point at 29 minutes and 30 seconds.
The dream that Maria's brother had about him being waist deep in water.
Mm. Yeah.
He doesn't live around water.
Mm.
That's in the surge of the sea.
Just hit you right there?
Yeah.
Right as we're sitting here?
Yeah.
Have you found that's happening a lot just to you? Like you got these pieces, and
yeah,
a couple of them will snap together.
Yeah.
And then you got pieces and a couple more will snap together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been strange. I've had a lot of that.
Yeah.
Again, just trying to piece it together in my mind, right? I don't know. I'm not a prophet.
And in the dream, he said he heard a loud thunderous boom too.
Yeah. So here's what I think a lot of that could be. And again, just speculation here, not saying it's going to happen, folks. So
yeah, no,
don't go crazy on us. Okay. And then this takes us back to the eclipse. One of the things that you can see is in 2017, when we had the previous eclipse go over, it went through a bunch of different towns named Salem, right? I forget how many. It was almost the same number as what we had this time with Jonah.
Yeah, I actually watched that.
Or Nineveh, rather.
I watched that one. What I could see of it.
Salem was the original name of Jerusalem before David changed the name to Jerusalem. And you look at that, and then around that time, we moved the embassy.
Yeah.
Right. And then after that, one of the things that Trump wanted to do was to have this whole peace accord where he carved off part of Israel and gave it to Palestine in order to make a state.
Yeah.
Right. 30%, I think. And the deal fell through. COVID happened. And that was the end of that.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw this question out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think COVID could have been a judgment from God?
I don't know. Possibly. I don't know. Or to disrupt plans of some kind, or just to fulfill prophecy, if what we're talking about. The other thing, too, to remember in here, and I want to make sure that anybody who's biblically savvy at all isn't going, you're talking about the wrong thing. It's not lost on me that what Christ is referring to in a lot of this scripture that we read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's talking about the coming destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD.
Yeah.
But I think, like many things, what you'll see is as you continue on going through Matthew, Mark, and Luke,
it's layered.
It's very layered. And by the time he gets to the end of these, he's not talking about 70 AD anymore. He's talking about the end times.
Yeah.
So I think that he is much more layered when he's talking earlier in the passages. And then by the time he gets to the end, he's talking about the end times.
Yeah.
But I think he's talking about the end times at the same time that he's talking about 70 AD and the destruction of Jerusalem by Rome.
Yeah.
So for anybody that's picking that out of there, and that's not lost on us.
Yeah.
We know this.
But it's just knowing how God works.
Here's what I've had exactly.
He's cyclical.
Yes, very, and very layered.
Yeah.
Christ was also very layered. That's one of the things that I've found as I've grown more as a Christian and grown more in my faith and dove more into the Bible is however layered I think God is, because he's very layered. And we all see this in our life too. There will be solutions and things provided for us that were set up long ago and just waiting for the right time to happen.
Yeah.
And there's other things that I've had in my life that have happened that were solved multiple layers of issues at the same time.
Yeah.
God is very multidimensional, where we tend to be very linear thinking. When I've really been studying Christ's words, I think Christ was exactly, which makes sense. He's the Father in human form, right? Christ was very much the same way. Every word, everything he did, all of his actions was very specifically chosen and said and done because it was very layered.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're seeing here.
Yeah, it is. And just the things, how you read it and it's like, check, check,
yeah,
check,
yeah,
check.
Right.
About every box has been checked.
Yes.
And I don't know if we're going to go here, but I'm just going to go here as well.
You're very trepidatious this week. I like it.
Go
there, man.
There was an eclipse with Jonah.
Yeah.
And right before that, they had a plague.
Yes. So the people of Nineveh were ripe for the message.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think we are.
Some people are.
As we discuss, I'll throw this out from last night in Enoch. The sheep that had their eyes open.
Yeah.
If your eyes are open, you know what's going on. But if you're asleep, forget it.
Yep, exactly. And I think there are a lot of people, including other brothers and sisters in Christ, that are completely asleep right now.
Yeah.
They're asleep at the wheel.
Wake up.
Or they think they're going to get raptured out of this and they're not going to suffer.
Can I have your house? Have your car.
Go ahead and deed that over to me when you think you're
because it's so going to burn anyway. You don't need it.
You're going to get raptured out of here. Yeah, you're going to get poofed out of here. Then just sign your stuff over.
Yeah,
And again, not picking on those folks. Everybody has a right to their opinion, but it's fine.
It's going to burn no matter what.
It's clearly, right? I'm like, whether you get raptured out of here or I'm stuck here or we have to wait, okay. It's all going to go bad.
The reason why I'm saying that, this in church today, I just had this vision, our church, and I'm not scared or anything. It was just like, it was gone. Hmm. Like, it just was like, it looked like an old movie in a Western town where there was just dust flying through it. And I'm not saying that the church is dead by any means. It's very live and active. But yes, it was just like half of it was gone. And I'm like, God was just like, you know what? All of this stuff doesn't really matter.
I was thinking about that earlier.
And he's, what matters is you.
Yeah, your soul, man. Because this is not our final destination. Whatever thing you think you've got here is pales in comparison to what awaits us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean to, because Adrian and I talk about this too, it doesn't mean that we don't like when people are like, oh, I long to leave this world. There's nothing here for me. I'm like, no, man, don't feel that way. Don't think that way. No. This was created for us. Like this, there's still tremendous amounts of joy and beauty to be had here and work to be done here.
Yeah.
So don't be so dismissive of that. But a lot of times that kind of thinking is very self-centered.
It is.
It's very self-thinking.
Yeah. If something happens, okay. If nothing happens, awesome.
I'm good either way, baby.
And so I will say I like living here.
Hey, you know, I've gotten to a place with this, especially over the last 6, 7, 8, 9 months of my life. Probably even longer than that. We're like, I'm good no matter what. I'm good. Yeah. I understand more a little bit, very small of what Paul was talking about, where I'm good, man.
Yeah.
If I'm here and I'm doing the Lord's work and finding great joy in it, then I'm good. And if I'm not here and I'm present with the Lord and in celebration with him, I'm definitely good. So
yeah, I still like waking up to hear birds singing.
It's been beautiful out today. I enjoy waking up next to my wife. I enjoy her tremendously. I enjoy our beautiful home and our family and friends and church and being able to do this and all that stuff. And, you know, that I'm going to keep on because that's what I feel like God is. I've spent enough time in my life being self-centered and self-focused.
Yeah.
And I'm glad God didn't prune me off. And I'm going to spend whatever time I have left focused on him and kingdom work.
Yeah. Same here. You know,
and it's great and it's joyous. It's the most joyous thing you'll ever do. But yeah, we have a lot of brothers and sisters that are sleeping.
Yeah.
And they need to get slapped awake.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe about to happen.
Yeah.
And again, if it doesn't, I'm okay with that. And they'll go that much more asleep because they're going to be like, so you told you, you're just a bunch of Looney Tunes.
I'd rather have my eye on the sky.
But I got to tell you, there's some things here that I'm like, it's coming, yo.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Friday is...
Listen, let's just focus on that for a second, right? We got into the astrological stuff, which is a thing. It's legit. We think that there's really some stuff here. That is reality.
Yeah.
That is happening. They are doing this. This is not just Kyle and Ben have plucked this out of nowhereville. They have these cows.
Yeah.
They want to sacrifice them. They have gone to extraordinary lengths to protect these animals from being killed because if you go to our Facebook page, you've got it right there. And if you want to go do a search, you can find it. A CBS News article that talks about how the leaders of Hamas have come out and said one of the reasons they went into Israel and did what they did is to stop this ceremony from happening.
Yeah.
And these cows are hidden away. They're under lock and key, under guard. They're in some secret facility this is insane, that nobody knows where they are because they know that people will try to stop this from happening.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. They're going to sacrifice a cow.
Yeah.
And okay, so let's back up a little bit. Here's what this means, because I think a lot of people don't understand. Okay, so they sacrifice a cow. So what? Here's what this means. This is the first step in rebuilding the temple. And we are not, as Christians and Christ followers, it is made very clear, we are the temple.
Yeah.
There is not to be a temple and sacrifices. That ended when Christ sacrificed himself on the cross.
Yeah.
Or allowed himself to be sacrificed on the cross.
From after Christ was crucified, till Rome came in and destroyed Jerusalem, I think it was 40 years, every year, the ribbon never turned white that they put on the temple door.
What would they put a ribbon on the door for?
It would change. It would go from red to white if the sins were forgiven. Mm. It would supernaturally change because they would sacrifice the one and they would let the one go to Azazel.
Yeah. Well, now that's coming up.
And that, the one that it was supposed to, when Azazel received that lamb or goat or whatever.
That, good.
Good. And then the ribbon on the door would go white.
And you said it never changed color.
After the crucifixion, it never changed. And they couldn't understand why.
It was always white?
It would go from red to white. For like cleansing the ribbon. So their sins were forgiven and it would go white. But it never went white. It always stayed red.
Really?
Yeah. And they couldn't understand why. God left the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Could that, like I've said this before, I've just had this thought when I said heaven was quiet for about a half hour.
You're talking the
in Revelation
6th or 7th seal.
Yeah.
One of the two.
I jokingly say, could that be like now? But I just had this thought, what if it was back then?
Oh, that the temple, you said the temple went silent for a half hour. Oh, how does that translate? Didn't you figure out what that translated to?
It was like 20 years. So let's just, if our calendar and everything is off anyway.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And if it was 40 years, okay, fine.
But our calendar is like a copy of a copy, like Multiplicity.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve. Hey,
Steve,
put some pizza in my wallet.
And I'm going to eat a dolphin.
You're going to eat a dolphin, Steve. Sorry, go ahead.
But if that's the case, then let's say God was quiet to the Jews for 40 years.
Interesting.
I just had that thought. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm wrong. You look in the Revelation, it is very cyclical too. God works in layers. It's Revelation's like the Exodus.
Yeah, very much so.
And so you could compare, but yeah, and they're wanting to sacrifice this cow because
they're going to do it.
And because they think it'll bring back God.
Yeah. Okay. So again, let's dive into that a little deeper just for clarity. So everybody understands why they shouldn't do it from our Christianity and biblical perspective, because it is a complete and total slap in the face of God.
Yeah.
And what it does ultimately, when you go and you read all of the end times Revelation prophecy, that is actually the beginning of the end, where we have the Antichrist and the sacrifices get started in the temple again daily. And the Antichrist is going to be in there and do all that. And then we have everything that happens in tribulation.
Yeah. I just had another thought.
But there's the other side of this too, of like the Jews, why they want to do it. So I'll get to that.
Well,
no. You give your thought out before you lose it.
So if they face this, you're going to like, could the rapture happen Friday or Saturday?
I mean, could it? Could I give it 1% chance? I'll give it a 1%. Sure. Absolutely. Is it going to happen? No, it's not, people.
I just had that thought because a lot of people think that.
I know. And that's a fallacy of thought. I do. Yeah. Hey, listen, again, I like their version better than my version. Right?
I do too.
And I know you and I agree on this. And, you know, to some degree, it's not going to happen. If it does, hey, gravy, I'm glad I was wrong. And hey, happy trails. I'll see you.
I should have bought that Lamborghini.
No, you should have bought that Lamborghini. I'll see you in heaven, right? Fantastic. But it's not going to happen because it doesn't make any sense for it to happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense biblically for it to happen. And it doesn't make any sense from a timing perspective for it to happen. Because if we look at the messaging of what's going to happen, and we'll come back to this here in a second, because I want to finish up the Jewish side coin on the sacrifice. It doesn't make any sense for it to happen because of the messaging that's in the eclipse. If you believe there's messaging in the eclipse, then there's some very clear messaging in the eclipse that God is using to tell us what's getting ready to happen for those of us that are awake and are seeing things through the eyes of a repentant Nineveh or a Jonah, even though he didn't want them to repent. He wanted God to kill them all. That's why he ran away.
VeggieTales did the best version of that.
VeggieTales is awesome. Everybody's got a water buffalo. That's my favorite. But anyway, now, so we've explained why this is a bad thing from the Christian perspective, and it heralds the end times. No doubt about it.
Right? Yeah.
No doubt of where we are biblically now. And it's going to happen. at least the sacrifice part. And they have to do this in order to cleanse the priests sacrificially and all of the utensils and everything that they need in order to actually reestablish the temple itself.
Yeah.
You have to do these things in order to basically reestablish a line of proper priesthood.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, on the Jewish side of the coin, the reason that they want to do this is because the Orthodox Jew does not believe that they have had their Messiah yet.
Yeah.
And they think that doing this is going to bring their Messiah to them. And the reason they rejected Christ is you have to go back and you have to really go dig in some history, which is fantastic because it's amazing how we've referenced things from our talk last night during this conversation.
Yeah.
When you get into the Book of Enoch, it forces you to go down some of these roads to do a study of like, why isn't this in our Bible? And when you get into that, you start digging into the history of the Jewish people and what has happened. And you have to understand that when Christ came about, the Pharisees and the Sadducees that had come to power during that time were from a warmongering thinking.
Yeah.
They had come out of the Maccabean revolt where they had kicked out the Greeks. They had been at war for 7 years and they were birthed out of that philosophy of thinking. So they wanted their Messiah to be the war bringer, the justice bringer, the one that would bring their enemies to their knees and bring about the bloodshed that they felt like they were due against their enemies.
Yeah.
So they rejected Christ. They rejected any notion that he would be the peaceful Messiah and not do these things. So they have never seen Christ as the true Messiah.
Yeah.
And so they think in order to have their true Messiah, they need to rebuild this temple and they have to follow the Torah, which is the first several books of the Bible. Included in that is Levitical law on how you have to properly have a priesthood in a temple. And this goes back to all the old ways of doing things in the Old Testament, because they believe in the Old Testament, just like we believe in the Old Testament. However, their application of it, because they don't believe in the Messiah, is completely whacked out.
Yeah.
So they think in building this temple, they're going to get their Messiah that's going to be the war bringer.
Yeah.
So that's why they want to do this.
But that's not going to happen. They're going to get the war bringer.
They're going to get the war bringer. All right. The war bringer. His name is God.
Yes.
And boy, his wrath is something else.
Yeah.
When you read what's really going to happen in Revelation, my gosh, it is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
This is terrifying. And I think the stuff that Christ, we've read about today in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then alluded to in John about the childbirth and all the things that the signs of things to come are going to be horrible, let alone the actual coming of the seals and the trumpets and the bowls. And that's where I think we are with the eclipse, is I think we are in these things that Christ is talking about, the birth pains specifically. And then we read about the famines and the plagues and the epidemics.
Yeah.
And then we read about the water. Right?
Yeah.
The flooding. Again, here's what I think is going to happen. This eclipse that's coming through is going over all these places named Nineveh. We know that. What are the odds of that? What are the mathematical odds of that? Nobody's seven. Arguing that's going to, really high.
Seven.
Seven places named
seven,
Nineveh.
Seven,
imagine that.
Seven.
Seven, 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 God's number.
Yeah.
Which I always love. Devil's number is what? 666?
That's man's number.
And God says, 777, baby, I'm way better than you, but I only need to be one better.
Yeah.
But no, in with this eclipse that's coming, you can see it going all over all these places named Nineveh on April 8th. If you move forward 40 days past that, you arrive at Pentecost.
Yeah.
And we've read Acts 2:17, which actually is referencing Joel 3:1, I think, where it talks about in the end days, I'll pour out my spirit on all people.
Yeah.
And your women and children will prophesy and your old men will dream dreams. And I think that's starting to happen.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to take another level here when we hit Pentecost this year.
Yeah.
And I think 40 days after, when America does not repent, and I think this is our punishment for all the things that we've done that are completely ungodly. But beyond that, our punishment for interfering in the things of Israel. And I think this goes back in when Trump wanted to give away part of the land. And previous presidents wanted to have some kind of deal that gave away part of the land. And then our current ding-dong of a president wants to have, I don't even know where he stands, but his leftist colleagues want to have re-elections and kick Netanyahu out of, and we're meddling.
Yeah.
We're meddling in their business. We're constantly meddling in everyone's business, but especially Israel's business.
Yeah.
And I think God is going to put us in our place because that's his people.
Yep.
It's, and we just can't leave it alone.
It's the spirit of the 70 shepherds.
Yeah. There you go.
This is what it is.
Yeah. Which again is a reference to Enoch.
The more you dig in, it's just,
it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like a glove. It's perfect.
And multi-layered and, yeah, and circular reference.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's all there. If you just approach God like a child and say, just reveal things to me.
Yeah.
Reveal things to me. Put people in my path that'll help reveal things to me and make me stronger. And so I think 40 days after this eclipse, I think we're going to get judged. And I think it's not going to be 40 plus one or 40 plus two. I think it's going to be 40 days. And I think we're going to get judged. I think we're going to have three massive earthquakes. I think we're going to have one in New Madrid that's already stored up enough energy to probably have another repeat of 1811, 1812. We're going to have one in, oh, I can never remember the name of the one in Texas. There's a fault line right by San Antonio, Austin area in Texas. That one has been more active lately, as has New Madrid, or New Madrid, however you want to say it. And then the last one is the Cascadia fault line, which is just off the coast of Washington.
Yeah.
And it's the Cascadia subduction zone, actually. And I believe that has been more area has been more active as of late. And all three of those are the intersection point for the last three eclipses we've had. They form an aleph when you look at a map.
Yeah.
They actually form an aleph, which is God's symbol for alpha, an ox.
Yeah.
Because you have to know a little bit of Hebrew and understand a little bit about the Hebrew alphabet to understand how all this kind of works and goes together.
Yeah.
We're going to be judged, man. That's what I think in America. So you got to think, that one out there in Cascadia has produced a 9.0 earthquake in the past they know of. And when you have a 9, because that sits off the coast, right? When that, yeah, you have a 9.0 earthquake that sits off the coast like that, what do you get?
A tsunami.
You get tsunamis, right? And the devastation right there in Washington and all along the west coast of America will be almost instantaneous. It's because of proximity.
Yeah.
And then, but that will radiate out the entire Pacific Ocean. So all of Japan, China, Vietnam,
China,
Thailand, all the way down to, yeah,
China,
Australia.
Yeah. It's going to be bad.
Hawaii.
We just pray that it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, everything that I'm reading makes me think it's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's possible, and I think it could happen. Here's what I think: it will happen. I think it could happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah. It could happen.
It could. That maybe seems contradictory, but I think it could. I'm not going to sit here and sign my life away to it. I'm not going to sign it in blood and say this is going to happen, but I think it's very possible that it could happen.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, come. What day is that? I think we put it on our
calendar. Man, we got so many. I think it's April 22nd.
No, that's
okay. Passover. I think it's May 18th, possibly.
Yeah. That.
No, that couldn't be right. It would be 40 days. 40 days from, because April 22nd is actually Passover, right?
Yeah.
It would have to be. Let me pull up a calendar here. It would have to be.
Oh, you were going 40 days after the eclipse, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, because it would be the eve of Pentecost. So not Passover, but the eclipse. Yes, I apologize. Yeah. Yes. It would be 40 days after the eclipse because it's going through all these places named Nineveh was given 40 days. If you don't repent, and turn from, because I think God's giving us a chance, right? I think the message here is you've got 40 days to repent and turn from your ways.
And all solar, it's a solar eclipse, were viewed as judgment.
Yeah, because the people of Nineveh, you talked about this earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
One of the things that we can go back and we've studied long before the eclipse here that started to happen, they went back and they looked, and it's actually spoken of a little bit in, I think, 2 Kings maybe, and then Amos.
Yeah.
The book of Amos, where it talks about they had, and you can go historical record, right? Like we know when the eclipse cycles were, and we know when certain kings were in power. We have all the historical record of that. When Jonah went to Nineveh, they had a plague and an earthquake, or a plague and an eclipse, like you talked about.
Yeah. You can go to stellarium.com and do all that too.
Yeah.
It'll map out all the stars out for you.
Yeah.
So that's neat too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so I just don't know how we can draw any other parallel between the Bible and what's getting ready to happen. I don't think anything's going to happen on the eclipse.
I think we colored a really good picture, though.
As far as what?
As what's going to happen.
Wow, what's possible?
With knowing scripture and keeping your eye on the skies.
Yeah.
Jesus always said, watch.
Yeah.
Always watch.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's watch, but don't live in fear.
Yeah, I don't live in
fear. It's crazy because I know we've had some similar conversations where you and Maria and Adrian and I, we feel like we're living two lives right now.
Yeah.
There's like a life of watchfulness and preparation. And then there's also a life of planning like normal.
Yeah.
Like nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's strange. It's very strange.
Yeah.
But ultimately, either way, whether you're planning your life like normal on vacations and all these things that we normally do and future plans, and or you're preparing for the eventuality of what could be potentially going on right now, what seems like biblically is going on right now. Either way, God is in charge of both of those plans for us. So God's in the driver's seat. Whatever we do, prayerfulness will continue.
I just had Megadeth's song Symphony of Destruction pop in my head. Like our past show was called, what was it? The Eclipse of Destruction. So
is this the Symphony of Destruction?
Yes. Yeah, Symphony of Destruction. Part two. Because we have to be prepared. Excuse me.
Yeah.
For that. And it's not our will. It's God's will.
Yeah, exactly. And this is his word. This isn't Kyle and Ben wanting to have whatever happen. This is just me looking at what is happening and going, I think this is what God is telling us is getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
Just looking at the word and looking at what Christ has to say in the word, looking at what John the Revelator had to say, you know, in Revelations, looking at what some of the Old Testament stuff has to say about things as far as future prophecy. And we come full circle back to Daniel with that because, you know, here we've had Christ reference Daniel multiple times, the abomination of desolation, right?
Yeah.
And when you go and you start doing the math in that, can you realize what a jubilee is and you understand that he's not talking, and jubilee terms are used in Revelation too, and people don't understand it because when it talks about half a week is 3.5 years, people are like, how is half a week 3.5 years? When you understand what a jubilee is, that makes perfect sense, right? So when you go back to Daniel 12 and you look into Daniel 12 and you got that timeline, I keep coming back to that timeline because it's Christ's words to us.
Yeah.
Abomination of desolation. And it says in Daniel 12, we'll just might as well pull it up again.
Yeah.
But it says in Daniel 12, he gives us some very clear timelines on what is going to happen. And some of those, it seems, have already been fulfilled. So we'll take a look at this. And we'll pick up in Daniel 12, and we'll start in verse 8. I heard this, but I couldn't understand what it meant. So I asked, Lord, what will be the outcome of all this? But he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are to remain secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will purify, cleanse, and refine themselves, but the wicked will keep on acting wickedly. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah.
And none of the wicked will understand, but those with discernment will understand. From the time the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Now, if you understand it through the lens of a jubilee, a day is a year.
Yeah.
A week is 7 years. Okay? So it's not 1,290 actual days like we think of them. It's 1,290 years. When you look at when the daily sacrifices stopped, they say that it was about 598 BC. Because 597 BC, as you roll forward, right?
Yeah.
The next year after that would be 597. because you're going forward towards zero or towards one in AD, right? Is when they went into the Babylonian exile. So 598 is when they predicted that the daily sacrifices stopped. So if you move forward 1290 years, you get, or is it 598? Something like that. I forget what the time frame is. If you move forward from that, you wind up at 692 or 691 AD, which is the exact year that the Dome of the Rock was finished on the Temple Mount.
Interesting.
So you have King Solomon's temple destroyed and gone, right? Never to be rebuilt again.
Yeah.
But that's sacred ground. That's where God's holy ground was.
They did have Herod's temple.
Oh, on the...
Yeah, that was the one that was around during Christ's time.
Oh, yeah. That was on. That was someone else's...
Herod, it was King Herod's temple when he built it, so...
Was that on the Temple Mount?
It was...
I think it was away from there, right?
Yeah, a little bit, but still it was...
Yeah. Because he wanted it to be greater than...
Yeah.
He wanted it to be greater than the original temple, if I remember. I read this somewhere here recently. Yeah.
And it wasn't.
No, because it didn't have God in it.
No.
But you have the Dome of the Rock being built. So you have a Muslim holy place built on top of the most sacred place in all of...
Religion, yeah, really. Right. I guess you could say earthly.
Judaism, yeah. At least in Judaism.
Yeah.
And that was, you've made an abomination on God's land.
Yeah.
So now we're just waiting for the desolator, right? The person that's going to come in and be the desolator, which would be, my thinking would be the Antichrist.
Yeah.
So you move forward from there after that's built. 1335 days, if you move forward from whatever 692 AD, and you arrive at 2027.
Wow.
What's going to happen in 2027, Ben?
Oh, there's an eclipse over Jerusalem,
yeah, there's
by the
an
way.
Eclipse.
Another solar eclipse.
August of 2027 in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And what do we read about? That the sun will grow dark.
Yeah.
All these things, right?
It's just...
How many things need to line up? Which is hilarious, because here's how I came about that information, because I had no idea. I came about that information because of another Christian who is making fun of people that are looking at all this stuff and calling it out. And they were one of the ones that was saying, oh, you guys need to just read your Bibles and eat your Fruit Loops. And
wait, if you read your Bibles, cheery. Then you know this stuff.
Yeah, don't get me started. But at the end of it, they actually copied in someone else's post or whatever. And at the end of this post where this person is saying this, they say, oh, imagine how crazy all the Christians are going to be and everybody's going to be in August of 2027 when the full eclipse, solar eclipse goes over Jerusalem. And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Is that really a thing? So I dug into it. Yeah, it's really a thing. And I just laughed because I'm like, how blind are you? How blind are you to the things that are going on? You're including potential prophecy in your rebuke of all of us that are like questioning this stuff. Now, if your rebuke is based on the whole thing of, hey, don't lose your heads over this stuff because God's still in control. Cool. I'm down. I'll high five you all day long to that. But yeah. It was not that. It was, you all are just a bunch of Looney Tunes and you need to spend the time reading your Bibles and just not worry about things and stick your head in the sand back here with us. Is what I read it to. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to put my head in the sand.
Yeah. We were talking before we hit record, and since I was a kid, I've been waiting for the red heifer.
I find that cute. The odds of that.
And because we would discuss that, and my dad knew. Right? Mm. We should have him on the show sometime.
We should have your dad on. He'd be great on here.
I know. I don't know if he could make it down the steps, though, honestly.
Nah, we'll take it to him. I got road equipment.
Yeah.
That can travel.
But yeah, we discussed that when I was a kid. Now it's, I told you, it seems like it's taken forever.
Yeah.
To get here. I always thought it would be quick, but it's so slow.
You want to look at how fun God is and how God works. So we've been having a phenomenal week on the show, and all praise to God for that. It's his show.
Yes.
Right? We talk about this all the time. It's just so humbling to sit here and watch God use us to be able to hopefully reach people.
Yeah.
Right. But going beyond that, what you just said, you were raised in a home with a dad who is not a traditional pastor. He is not afraid. What book did he quote today?
Yeah, the book of Jasher, which is awesome.
Who is not afraid to break away from the script when it comes to the seminary. He raises you. He teaches you about this, right? This event that will be monumental in setting up the end times, because he believes that we're probably getting close.
Yeah.
You go through your whole time here in Little Thorntown and this and that. And then all of a sudden in 2023, this crazy dude comes in because he started to have his own journey and through Enoch, which is another passion area for you. And then we get to talking and hit it off. And now we sit a year later here watching the things that you were taught as a kid start to actually come to pass in reality.
Yeah.
And you have a brother in Christ sitting across from you that is completely in alignment and open and sees the things that you do.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
We share a brain.
Yeah, we do. We shared this story last night on the live stream.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's fun. It is. It's a lot of fun. But just seeing things happen most kids don't listen to their parents.
Amen.
Growing up,
I'm included in that, unfortunately.
Yes, I did. I don't want to say I never butt heads with my dad, but yeah. It was a dad, son, whatever. But I always would pay attention to what he would say, even when I was a kid, even growing up. But I might not like what he said. I listened.
Yeah.
Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I did. It just depended on the moment. But the scripture stuff I listened to. And I find that if your kids listen to your scripture stuff, that's more important than anything else. So whatever else you said, they don't remember. But if they remember scripture, that's God wrote that on their heart for a reason. But it's just watching all this unfold.
Yeah.
I'm at an ease. It's a weird piece.
I think it is.
That's why you buy that Lamborghini.
Oh my goodness. I'll work on him, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry. I got him. I got him. I'll keep him in check. I know his wife will keep him in check too, but it's not going to happen. But yeah, no, it's just, there's a strange piece about it. I'm animated about it because I want other people to be aware of what's going on, because I think we see that there's a tremendous amount of people asleep, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are just checking boxes.
Yeah.
I think they're going to church. I don't necessarily think they're bad Christians, but I think they're sleeping.
Yeah.
I think they've gotten used to going to their churches on Sunday that have feel good sermons on the ways to fight against depression and better ways to guard yourself against trouble in your life and how to be strong through trial. And I don't think those things are bad, but when that's all you ever do and you never talk about what's going on in the world around us,
yeah,
this is how we get the world around us. Because when we see evil and we see things that are not right, we don't speak up about it anymore.
No, we don't. We turn our head.
Yeah. People just turn their head and walk away. Yeah. And that's cowardice.
Yeah, it is.
That's the essence of cowardice. And we can't be surprised that the world's in the state that it's in, where we're headed. I'm not shocked by it at all. But yeah, man, I just keep coming back to Daniel on that 1290 days. And when you do the time, the sacrifices stop before they went into the Babylonian exile. And then you add the time and then you get right to the Dome of the Rock. What are the odds of that? And then you have what says the next line is, how blessed are anyone who waits and arrives at the 1335 days. And you add 1335 years onto 590 or 691 or 2 AD, 692, when the Dome of the Rock was finished, and you come to 2027.
So we're blessed.
Are you saying that from the, yeah, that's according to, if we make it to 2027, if that's what the math is saying here, how blessed will anyone be who waits and arrives at the 1335? Now, my million-dollar question is, what does that mean?
I think we get to see the translation.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think that's when we're going to get what we would say is raptured.
Or we get to see his return. See, most people, we've discussed this too, that we're going to come back fighting. The bride doesn't fight.
No.
And when I was a kid, I always thought that would have been cool, but the bride never fights. And if the church is the bride, we are going to be back at a tent eating a dinner.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So
that's why he has angels.
Yeah.
That's why he has Michael.
Yeah.
Michael is the lead angel, the lead archangel.
We learned that last night.
Yeah. We talked about it last night.
Yeah.
It goes so far as to say that Michael is the champion of Israel.
Yeah.
In the Bible.
He will fight for Israel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Christ was the sacrifice for us and our defender.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to have that anymore.
It says in Revelation, he comes out and he opens his mouth and a two-edged sword comes out.
Yeah.
And he just speaks and people die.
Yeah.
That's all he needs to do.
Yeah.
Given
all power by the Father to do anything he wants.
Because everything is held together by Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the little, I don't know if we discussed this. What is it, like an enzyme or something that we have that's the shape of a cross?
Oh, in our bodies?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think we have.
I forget what it's a certain kind of, it's got a certain name.
Interesting.
If somebody's out there that heard that's probably like, what's whatever, but I can't remember exactly what it is. But everything in this world is held together by Christ.
Our very bodies.
The minute he says, boo,
bye-bye,
we are annihilated. Yeah. Everything is annihilated.
Yep.
Trees, chairs, cars. I don't care. It's like everything that was made on this earth has Christ in it somehow. I don't care.
That's why the Bible tells us, like, don't worry about things that can destroy your life or take your life. Worry about the one who can destroy your soul.
Yeah.
And obliterate your soul.
Yeah. And the minute he just boo, you're just a slime.
Gooey
mess left. Yeah.
Your hamburger paste.
Yes. Yes. But we're not going to be fighting.
No, I don't think so either.
I will share this dream. I think I've shared this dream before, but I'll share it again because it's been bugging me. And we were discussing it yesterday when we were in the car. Marie and I are at this huge dinner. Everybody that I have ever known is sitting at this table. We're eating. Oh, wow. We're in we're in a glass bowl. Mm-hmm. And on the outside of the bowl, hell is happening. Everything that's terrible and unimaginable is happening on the outside of the bowl.
Hmm.
And in the dream, I start to fly.
Hmm.
So I wake up. I'm trying to wake up Maria saying, oh, I'm having a dream where I'm flying. But I hear this voice that says, arise and fly and destroy the witch and the child. And I have this huge hammer. And it's telling her, as I wasn't scared in the dream to do it. It was just like, okay, I got to do this, but I'll be back. It wasn't like I'm not coming back. It's like, I'll be back in a little bit to have this meal.
Yeah.
I wasn't scared at all. I don't know what it means.
Yeah. You have no idea who the witch or the child is.
No.
Huh.
And that's bugged me the entire time. And I know exactly what this big hammer looked like.
Well, we didn't get to your dream when we talked to the girl last week.
No, it's okay.
It was good. Good for them.
It was very rude, just like rudely built.
Mm-hmm.
But it was covered in gold, and it had Hebrew writing all over it.
Mm.
That's all I could probably. I've thought about making it.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know what that would bring about.
You're going to start to fly. I guess listen to you, man. Maybe that means like the your job here is to fight against demonic forces and like the cultish thinking.
Yeah.
And all of that, and to destroy the seed that it produces.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's makes sense to me.
It was.
Then you're going to use in God, the Hebrew, crude Hebrew hammer would represent the word of God.
Yeah. I don't know. But the flying part was amazing.
Yeah.
I love to fly in my dreams. I don't know if folks fly in their dreams or not.
And if you lean into God's word, then he'll give you the ability to do that. And
yeah,
you'll fly.
But just the dinner was amazing. And I'm like,
it's interesting. You're in like a fishbowl.
Yeah. It's like we had no care on what was going on around us. I don't know if that's what the dinner is going to be like. We're just like, whoa. Oh, you made it too. Yeah. Isn't this awesome? I haven't seen you since we were kids. That's what I hope.
It'll be interesting to see who all is there.
Yeah.
And who doesn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be aware. I wonder if people didn't make it.
I
think you would be.
Every face I seen in my dream, I knew. I knew them. I knew that person. And it was from like random people to people that I've known forever.
Wow. That's cool.
But the weird thing is that women were on one side and the men were on the other. But there was nobody at the head. That's what it was like the where I was at. Now it was really bright at one end of the table, like way far away.
It's the entrance to the fishbowl.
Could be. Or it could have been Christ. I don't know.
Could be. He was outside. He was battling your...
Could have been. Or
fighting your enemies for you.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But we're coming at a time where we need to fight.
Yeah.
And I think we're fighting the good fight slowly. Slowly and surely.
The whole goal of all of this is to highlight God's word and help open people's eyes.
Yeah.
Just, and again, don't take our word for it.
Yeah.
We say this all the time. Don't take our word for it. Go look into things yourself. Everything we talk about. I have no opinion. I've never had a problem in my life sharing my opinion.
Yeah.
Now, I've shared my opinion today. Am I saying it's going to happen? No. Do I think it could happen or it's very possible that it could happen?
Yeah. There's a big if.
I think it might.
I think it might happen. If this happens, and that if is probably as big as your house. Maybe if, oh boy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, it's, we'll see. You know, it's going to be an interesting few weeks. Because if they're committed to doing this, here's the other thing too, a whole thing with that. I know we're getting near the end here, but
literally
of the show, just for clarity, but there's no doubt about it that they want to do this.
Yeah.
And they want to do it. And as long as the cows and I agree with your wife and we all talked about this earlier today, if God wants it to happen, it will happen. Or we talked about last night. If God wants it to, or is willing to let it happen, it will happen. And if he doesn't want it to happen, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
I will tell you, and I don't want to presume anything of God. It sure seems like this is going to happen because it's what we need to happen in order to fulfill prophecy.
Yeah.
Because they are absolutely hell-bent on doing this.
Yeah.
And they have taken extreme precautions because they know just what this will mean and what this will bring. And I think the timing of everything is very crazy on all this stuff, but yeah. They want to do this. They want to do this. They want to sacrifice this cow, and they're not going to be able to hide it because they're doing it on.
I think there'll be a lot of guards around it too.
Oh, it'll be insane how much security there is.
Because it's got to be done in the middle of the day.
That's the interesting thing too. And if you go look at that episode with Blurry Creatures with the two guys from Texas who were involved in getting them these cows, they were being kept in the loop on a lot of things and how everything was going and the plans and this and that. And all of a sudden it was like the curtain just came down. Boom. Because I think the government of Israel was like, okay, no, we have to stop talking about this. We have to make sure that we have security in place. You got to think from if they're going to do a live sacrifice of a cow and they're going to slit its throat. Can you imagine all the people here in the United States that'll be crying in the streets about animal cruelty and let that alone? Like,
I just posted the video on our page about PETA kills more animals than they save.
Go figure. Like Carol Baskin hiding away all the tiggers. Oh my goodness. You can imagine that, right? And then we already have a militant group and several groups of militant people who are now trying to get in on Israel. Yeah. What this will do to incense them, because that's why they went in the first place, one of the main reasons. And again, CBS article, go find it on our site. Go find it for yourself. It's out there. It's CBS talking about how Hamas has said this is one of the things reasons they went into Israel was to kill these cows and stop this from happening. So they want to, this is biblical prophecy being fulfilled in front of our eyes, potentially.
Yeah, I know. There's a passage that says, whoever blesses Israel, I will bless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think America has done that.
I think at times.
But when is the point? When's the point of when we as Christians don't do that anymore? Say, I'm not
going to stand by Israel.
Yeah.
It's already happening. I think we've already got a lot of the church that is starting to turn away from Israel and turn their face from Israel.
And that's prophecy too.
And I think they've got a lot of Jews that have done that.
Yeah.
That live here now that are turning away from Israel. And yes, it is. Because it says everybody's going to turn away from them.
Yeah.
And their enemies are going to have Adam.
I want to turn away from them. I just don't like what they're doing. No, if that makes sense.
No, because we can see the falling away.
Yeah.
We look what they are doing. They're letting this happen.
Yeah.
And it's because they refuse to
acknowledge.
They refuse to acknowledge the very Messiah that was sent after all of their hard-headedness to save them.
Yeah.
Just, it's insane.
Moses goes up on the mountain. He comes down because
40 days.
40 days. 40 days. They're like, where'd this guy go?
Yeah.
And then they all of a sudden.
He tells them, I'm going up on the mountain. If you need anything, Aaron's in charge.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
And Aaron dropped the ball.
By 40 days. He wasn't on the mountain 40 days and came down, and they already had been making idols and out of gold. And
he broke the tablets that were handwritten by God.
Threw them down on the ground, cracked them.
And the finger of God wrote on those tablets.
Which is the most fascinating thing that you can read in Jubilees, because the whole front end of Jubilees, which is funny because we were going to talk about that for the last few weeks and it just hasn't happened. The whole front end of Jubilees is God telling him, he's like, here's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Here's what they're going to do. And he's, please don't kill them. Please, Lord, don't get mad. Please, Lord, let me talk to him. Please, Lord, don't turn your wrath on him. And he's, here's what they're going to do. Here's what they're going to do.
And then Moses, God, kill him. Nope, can't do that. It's such a good relationship that they had.
Yeah.
You know.
What, 10,000 of them died after that, right?
Yeah. After they made golden calf and... They are a stiff-necked people.
They are, but so are we.
Yeah.
So are we. We tend to read the condensed history and we think how stiff-necked they are, but ultimately at the end of the day, so are we.
Yeah. So, should we still pray and try to bless Israel?
I think ultimately the same prayer for Israel exists for everybody else, which is turn back, turn away, turn from your wicked ways and turn back to the Lord, because you're not getting there either.
It very
clearly says, nobody comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
That's it. We were all grafted in, right? We're all part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And it's like this, you got one choice. You can accept your Savior or you can turn away from him. It's your choice.
Yeah.
Pick Jesus.
Pick Jesus.
It's worth it, I promise you.
He was the red heifer.
Yeah, he was. That's exactly what he was. That's why we don't need one.
Yeah.
That's why this is what's getting ready to happen is an abomination.
Yeah. Could that be it?
It's a further abomination.
Layers.
No, very layers.
Layers and cyclical.
Oh, very.
It never ends.
No, sir, that it doesn't. Ben, have we beat the red heifer enough?
I think so. I hope you guys enjoyed this.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's going to be a very telling week when we'll see where we wind up after Friday. And if we don't do it, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But because they've got an altar already built.
Yeah.
You don't build altars unless you're planning on using them.
Yeah.
Right. You don't buy land unless you're planning on using it. You don't go get heifers unless you're planning on killing them.
We were talking about Esther before the show, or maybe during the show too, where he had the gallows built.
Mm.
And he got to use the gallows.
Yeah.
He was the one that was on them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to do this. Unless God stops it, they're going to do it.
Unless the priest is the sacker.
Yeah, we live in some crazy times, bro.
Yes, he could. God, he could have a heart attack or something. Yeah. I'm not wanting any ill will towards anybody, I just want people to see the light and realize that Christ is the way.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we will bid you adieu, and we will catch you next time, hopefully on a sacrificial-free episode of The Foil. Take care, all. Bye.
Bye.
Tongue.